Yablet!
Some kill, they're leaving it very open. Windbar, well, what a kick! It's a goal!
Look at him go, Mr. Magic has kicked the most unbelievable goal you have ever seen in a month of Sundays.
Hello, 90s footy fans. Welcome to Series 5 of the 90s Club Footy Podcast. We have another terrific series coming up with names such as Bullis, Neats, Everett and Rombotis jumping on for a chat. To kick off the new series, we chat with an old fan favourite from the Western Oval this week, former Footscray spearhead, Danny Del Rey. Danny, originally recruited from Williamstown in the VAFA, spent 5 seasons at Footscray playing 62 games and kicking 139 goals. He won the club's goal-kicking award in 1992 and 1993. In this episode, Danny chats about Terry Wheeler recruiting him to the Western Oval, his strong 1992 season, which he netted 70 goals, playing full-back one day on Peter Sumich, and the big spray he received from Rocket Ead. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Danny Del Rey. Danny Del Rey, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Great to have you on, mate. I'm looking forward to reflecting on your footy journey.
Thanks, Trent. Yeah, good to be on, mate. Thanks for inviting me on your famous podcast.
I don't know about famous, but it is enjoyed, and it's great catching up with guys of your ilk playing that played in the 1990s. Now, mate, before we get into all the footy stuff, I'm always interested with my guests, what they're doing post-footy, you know, what their career has taken them to do, both, footy and employment life. So what are you doing with yourself at the moment, mate?
So we run a food service company. Obviously, I was just talking to you before regarding deliveries, and we deliver to hotels, restaurants, pizza shops, cafes, schools, childcare centres, a range of products to the customers itself. So we're out of Derrimut and Deer Park in Victoria. We started with 6 trucks on the road, 2004. So myself, Rick Del Rey, Mark Del Rey and Robbie DiMartino, we started with our own little vans years prior to 2004. And then we decided to join together in 2004. We had 6 trucks on the road and about 15 employees. And now we've got about 23 on a truck and about 80 employees. So things have sort of escalated from 2004. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Good to see that you're keeping busy and, life's going pretty well.
That's going all right, mate. Yeah, can't complain. It's has its ups and downs like what we all do. But the most important thing is to keep the business pretty strong. And, there's myself, obviously, full-time there. Mark's 3 days a week. Robbie's 4 days a week. And Rick's retired. So, it's hopefully I can get down that track one day and be like my big cousin Rick retiring.
Fantastic. Hey, mate, let's look at your footy journey. When I was doing my research, I sort of didn't know about your earlier times, but I know that, you played the under-19s with Footscray, and then you sort of had to work pretty hard to get on the actual Footscray senior list, and that meant going back to Williamstown in the VFA. So tell us a bit about that time.
Yeah, it's when I was about 16, 17, I was playing for a club called North Sunshine Crossroads. So that was in Dempster Park in Sunshine itself. And I think if you remember back then, if you're zoned, you go to the clubs where you're zoned at. So I was zoned at the Bulldogs. So we ended up going there and playing some under-19s footy under Graham Calvary when I was about 16, 17. And I probably was a little bit, being like in the Italian side and European side, I was a little bit bigger than the normal person because I was getting fed well at home by my mum. So I just sort of put a bit of weight on and got a little bit slower, and my footy sort of went downhill a little bit. So, I played 3 years there and then I got delisted. I had a couple of little injuries and they said, look, you're just not going to cut it, blah, 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 no worries. So I ended up going to play at Williamstown, the VFA, with all my relos, they were playing. And my business partner, Rob DiMartino, he said, come down at Williamstown and play with the boys, so play with the men. And I was 19 at the time, and I said, no worries. And Terry Wheeler was coach. So I went with Robbie and trained, and I played that year I played 19s footy, four games in the 19s, three games in the reserves and the rest in the seniors. And I suppose that was a big stepping stone for me, because you play 19s footy, it's against under 19. But when you play open age, you're playing against men, and you've really got to, you know, sort yourself out. Otherwise, you'll get killed out there. So that was a big turning point for me, yeah.
Did you ever feel that the dream was sort of over, like once you got told that, yeah, I guess, to go back and, you know, you might have had a bit of extra pudding on and all that sort of, yeah, stuff? Did you sort of feel like, oh, geez, maybe I'm not going to get that chance of ever playing AFL? Or did you sort of still in yourself have that little bit of confidence knowing if you knuckled down, worked hard, that, you know, chances could come again?
Yeah, Trent, good question. The thing is, like, I really enjoyed my footy at Williamstown. I never thought about going back to the AFL at all, but I really enjoyed playing with my relos and having on a Sunday, you know, at Williamstown, having like myself and there's three other cousins who were playing, and all the relos would watch. So that's what I really enjoyed. And I reckon that's what lifted my footy up, like having that enjoyment, being out in the footy ground. Working hard, it come later on. I was told when I played, I think it was probably about a year or two at Williamstown, Terry said, look, you need to get fit, mate, if you want to go back in the AFL, or if you want to try your footy career, you want to be a 200-game player here or 250-game player at Williamstown, you need to, you know, if you really want to do it, you need to get fit. So, yeah, and that started another ball rolling as well. So that sort of got me to the AFL, which I can talk to you about that later as well.
Mate, when you joined the Bulldogs, I think it was in 1999, it was a really interesting time when, yeah, you went back to the Bulldogs, because I guess 1989 was pretty famous because it was that Footscray fight back rally that they had, because obviously there was strong chances that Fitzroy and Footscray were going to join forces. That must have been interesting to join the club following that year.
I've got a story about that one, Trent. 88, we played in the grand final against Coburg at Windy Hill. We lost. We were probably the best side all year. 89, then again, Terry was coach for at Williamstown Reserves in 89, and we actually played at Essendon Footy Ground again against Coburg, and we lost. So I go in the rooms, dejected, the whole team. Obviously, Terry was at Williamstown stalwart, so he come in the rooms afterwards and sort of said to the boys, look, bad luck, blah, blah, blah. And he came in, I was in the showers, and he must have went to the toilet or something, but he came up to me and I was in the shower, and he goes, bit of bad luck today, but you know that obviously I'm going for the Bulldogs. Like, that's with 89 when they'll rally. And he goes, if the Bulldogs survive this rally and I get the job, the head job at the Bulldogs, I want you to come and train. And this is straight after the, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the grand final. I had hair standing up everywhere, you know, but that's about it, though. So I was excited. And after the game or after all that, we just had some beers and whatever. And I said to my mum and dad, this is what happened. And dad was sort of, because he's riding a 40-year-old man, and he was really proud of what he said. And to Terry's credit, two or three weeks later, they obviously survived. He got the job, and that next day he rang me and said, come down and train. And I was just wrapped. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. What was the club environment like when you went down there and trained? Because obviously, you know, they would have been on the high of obviously, you know, surviving that rally and I guess pushing away that talk of merging with Fitzroy.
It was sort of like said once and then it was finished. So we had a sort of Terry made us, listen, we're here to fucking play footy, yeah? We're here to play footy. And he just said, don't worry about what's happened prior. We've made it. Now we're just going to try and establish a good side here. So pre-season training was tough. I still remember it was really tough. Training was tough. Practice matches were tough. Like, because he brought me from Williamstown, I was under the gun a little bit too, because who's this kid from, because you're a Williamstown boy and he's favouring me to come and train. So he more or less left it up to me. He said, Danny, I'll get you here, but the rest is up to you. So, yeah, I'll never forget, Trent, I played my first practice game against Chris Grant. Now, Chris Grant, I was 22, he was 18, but we didn't know who Chris Grant was. He was this skinny kid from Dalesford. It would have been about 75 kilos, 80 kilos. I was nearly 100, maybe 105. I was playing centre-half back my first game. Like, I'm not drafted yet, yeah? And he was centre-half forward. And he took about 18 marks on me. I couldn't get near the ball. I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm going back to Williamstown next week. But, you know, well, the rest is history. Well, you know how good Chris Grant is. He's an absolute superstar. So that was my first experience of a practice match in the AFL.
Oh, I love it. I'll tell you what, Granny was a great player in his own right, wasn't he? Isn't that superstar? Hey, mate, in your first season, I think you played 14 games, I think I read.
You're right. And the
1990s, as we know, was a really attacking brand of footy. Like, you look at all the forwards and you played in the full forward role and kicked a lot of goals. Did it take a lot of time for you to adjust to the pace and the delivery in comparison to what you were getting in the VFA?
Yes, but when I say when you say to a lot, really, as a forward, I adjusted pretty quickly because the ball would come down real quick and clean. So if you position yourself, you're half a chance of getting it. At least about, you know, three or four games before I could sort of like be a step ahead of my man and all that stuff. But yeah, I adjusted pretty quickly. Yeah.
Who was the best one that you loved being out in front of, you know, knowing that the kick was going to hit you straight out in front? Who was the best kick that you played with?
Leon Cameron, for sure. But I used to use my body a little bit back in the goal square, so I used to tell the guys, put it up. So Simon Atkins would be the perfect coming out of the middle. He don't look for me. He just whacks on his boot up in the air, and I'd do the rest, you know what I mean? So then to lead to a player would be Leon Cameron.
And he was good on both sides of his body, wasn't he, Danny?
Both sides. And that's the thing too, Trent. As a forward, like, you get to know your players, obviously, their strengths when they come out of the like positions where they are, and that's where you position yourself prior to that happening, because you know they're gonna turn on their left or turn on their right. But with Leon, you could just do anything because he'll hit you left or right. So, yeah, that was a bit of fun.
And he has a chance to post his third goal, and we've still got 20 minutes left in the first half. Lovely kick, Del Rey.
Hey, I'm really interested in the Western Oval. I guess one of the sort of the last suburban grounds that we sort of, you know, get phased out before we have all the big stadiums. What was it like running around at that venue on a Saturday afternoon during the 1990s? I guess, you know, it's well known as one of the, you know, most well-known sort of suburban grounds going around the old Western Oval.
Well, it could be good, could be bad. If you know what I'm saying, if you're playing bad, you're going to cop it for sure. See, we'd reserves will play before the 19s will play, the reserves will play, and then the seniors will play. So if you get there, you know, when watch the reserves, and then halftime through the reserves, you walk on the ground and just, you know, suss the ground out like you do. And there was, you know, people starting to roll in and all that stuff. So they all just wish you all the best before the game. And you go in the rooms and then you prepare for the seniors. I'll tell you one story there. Trent, we played Hawthorn at Western Oval, and we were going all right. I can't remember if this was 91 or 92. I can't remember, but we were going okay as a team. And we go out there and Hawthorn jumped us. We were probably 7 or 8 goals down at halftime. So we walked from the ground through the race, copying everything from the supporters, because it's only the race is only like the cyclone fence, yeah? You can hear everything. So we copped everything from them. We got spat at. We got just people going nuts. You're hopeless, Del Rey. Go back to Williamstown. I kicked 0 goals up to halftime. Had probably 2 touches. We go back out. We end up winning the game. I kick 7 and I'm the hero.
They probably start the Del Rey chant or something, are they? They're starting the Del Rey chant.
Yeah, these supporters, you know, felt like turning around and say, stick it up your ass, but hard, you know what I mean?
I bet you were their best mate at the social club on the Saturday night.
Yeah, that's
fun.
Yeah, social club was good fun, Trent, good fun, yes. Just, you know, social club was like the local footy, like back at the local footy, it was the best.
I remember talking to Paul Roos when we did one with him, and he was talking about the old, you know, Fitzroy social club times. And he said, it used to be great, like, not like it is now where there was social media and all that. He goes, you could actually have a beer and bloody talk a little bit of smack and have a bit of fun, you know, like.
100%. They give you time. Supporters, so, well, after a game, you'd be in the rooms with all the players and, you know, a few of your mums and dads and friends and family and all that stuff, and it was great. And you'd have to spend some time with supporters upstairs. So that was part of the deal. But then if you do an hour of that, then you go into it, like you're more or less you're on your own again, which is good fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a good time, yeah.
Hey, it would be fair to say, Danny, that 1992 is your best. In your short time at Footscray, you bagged 70 with a few big hauls. What do you reckon was the catalyst behind your good form that year? Was it a good pre-season? Was it good supply? I know the Bulldogs played in finals footy, so the guys would have been up and about. What was sort of the reason behind your good form that year?
Yeah, well, I'll go back to like my 91, I didn't have the best of years. I think I kicked 31 goals or 32 goals. And then Terry, that was 2 years in the system. So Terry said, Danny, we need to do something here. You've got to do something. So he just said, let's just see if you can get fitter, lose a bit more weight. So we actually went to boxing. We did boxing for 3 months. And I went down about 92, 93 kilos, my best weight ever, and I'm my fittest ever I've ever been. With 92 years, so 91 pre-season was the best pre-season I've had, and hence why, like, obviously, obviously the Bulldogs were a good side then too in 92, and I was fit, kept fit, and injury-free, and and kicked 70 goals and kicked 8 in the final, which was unbelievable.
Well, funny you say that. That sort of is a nice segue to my next question, because I was reading a article. It must have been a chat you had with SEN there, and said that you kicked 8, and it's unusual a full forward to kick 8 goals and your team still goes down. You're up against a very good Geelong side. But I did see that you reckon you might have kicked 9 that day, but one wasn't counted.
I did. I don't know I was on the front bar recently, and they showed the replay on Sam Penn sort of showed the replay on how I took the mark and kicked the goal and I celebrated, and the umpire goes, no, in the back. And I'm thinking, he's joking. And I had the umpire on, which was Darren Goldsby. They put him on the TV and they put him on the snippets, and he said, no, that's a definite free kick. But everyone saw it. You can see this. It's fine. Anyway, I'm not going to get that goal back, aren't I, Trent?
And I guess it probably wasn't going to make up the margin for that game. No. Guess looking at the results in 92, you played the Cats 3 times, and they just seemed to get you every time in that year, didn't they?
100%. That game, the 92 semi-final, the first final, we were up at halftime by about 26, 25 points. And we were playing some river footy. I think I kicked 5 or 6 goals up at halftime. And we go in the rooms and, everyone's up and about. And, we've got – well, obviously, they had a great side too. They had Stoneham, Ablett, what's his name?
Brownless.
Big Bill Brownless, Couch. They had some, like, Bairstow. They had some really good players. So we just said, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, win the footy, blah, blah, blah. And then after that, they beat us by about 8 or 9 goals. So it was pretty demoralising.
Next one I want to ask you is about Terry Wheeler, the coach. So obviously there's a lot of mutual respect there. And I guess you probably feel like, he's been a big part of your journey. Tell me a bit about, Terry Wheeler, the coach. And I guess you had him from almost all of your time at the Doggies, besides that latter part of 1994.
Yeah, that's correct. Terry was way ahead of his time. It was he had training drills set up. When we'd go to the footy training, we'd train 3 nights a week. We'd obviously have a job too. We'd come 3 nights a week. But he'd had all his footy training drills up on the board. His game plan was, everybody knew. The training was structured. He was way ahead of his time in that regard. A lovely bloke to get along with too, but then he can actually really, he's actually made me cry at halftime speech. When I was at Williamstown, mind you, not at Bulldogs, but he can be very hard on you, but he's fair and he shows a lot of faith in you. And, I love the guy because he gave me the opportunity and, so that was really good on his behalf.
I was really amazed when I was looking, Danny. So obviously you guys played in a prelim in 1992, and looking at the team on paper, you had some great names. But then 93 years missed the finals. Was looking back now, was that a bit of a surprise?
Yeah. We probably our preseason wasn't the best, Trent. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. Like, at the end of the day, it happens now too in AFL. Like, you have a look at sides. Like, even Richmond, like, they finished, second last or third last 5-6 years ago, and they win 3 flags. You know what I mean? I can't remember exactly, but I reckon our preseason wasn't the best, mate. Poor form.
You won the goal kicking award again. Yeah, you won it twice.
In time
70, then the following year as well. I think it might have been 36 or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
during your time in the AFL and your games that you played at Footscray, is there a favourite goal that you kicked? Is there one that just always sticks out as being one that you always remember, which you kicked, whether it might have been tied on the boundary or one to win a game after the siren or anything like that?
I had a chance to win one against Collingwood. It wasn't after the siren, but it was about 20 seconds to go and I missed it. But the best one I've kicked is the one in the first final against Geelong, my actual eighth goal. It was I remember leading out and I can't remember, the ball must hit the ground or something. And Geelong player picked it up. I tackled him. Ball went to the ground, picked it up. I ran along the boundary and I did a banana through the goals and I just celebrated. Well, 7 or 8 goals down, but I just celebrated like we were winning. But that's the one I remember the most, Trent. That was the best one.
I love it. You must have loved your bit of work you did then. Why not celebrate?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. It just wasn't one of those famous, like not famous, it wasn't those things to get out, take a marquee goal. It was to do a bit of work and it paid off with a banana.
Baxter, good long penetrating kick up towards half forward. Wallace can't make ground. Del Rey, he got a chance one. A banana kick from the forward pocket. That's a brilliant kick.
'94 was your last season, Danny. You played 3 games. Was there any particular reason you weren't a regular in the team, considering of your efforts of the previous 2 seasons, do you feel?
Yeah. Well, Alan Joyce got the job in '94. So Terry got the sack in after round 3 against Geelong. So Geelong's been a pretty good side for us. So Alan Joyce got the job. And I think my form wasn't the best, but he came up to me and he said, we're going to try playing fullback because they brought in Richard Osborne.
That's right.
And so I said, okay, no worries. That'll do, give us a crack. I've played back line before but never fullback. I've always played halfback or back pocket. And I played fullback. I played a couple of games there, didn't do that good, and then I probably wasn't one of his favourites and lost a little bit of form and couldn't get back in the side. So they just asked me to move on after that.
Who did you have to line up on in the fullback position, mate, the games you played?
I knew you were going to ask for this. Peter Sumich was one of them at freaking Perth. That was far. He kicked 14 goals that day, but I think he kicked 10 on me.
Jesus.
it was something that, I don't think myself, I would rather be kicking him, not bloody defending him. Anyway,
yeah.
That was a story.
The big Sumo, jeepers. Mm. Geez, you would have been, buddy. You would have had a headache after that game.
You know when you play and you think, geez, I hope the ball doesn't come down. Don't come down, ball. Stay away. You know what I mean? Because you know she's going to get it.
Hey, following your time at Footscray, you then played some Sandful footy and then VFL again.
Yep.
Was there any inklings from any AFL clubs to maybe come down and have a train, do a pre-season to maybe add a little bit of an experience forward to their lineups at all, or sort of had that boat sailed following your time at the Bulldogs?
Well, as I said to you before, when having a business going prior to 2004, my father, I said to Dad, I actually went to South Australia to play with Kenny Sheldon, but it was only a 1-year contract because I was trying to get back in the AFL. I was 27, turning 28. And I couldn't leave my dad on his own and business for too much, after more than a year. So I tried to get back. I ended up kicking 97 goals that year. So I won the league most goals for the year. I can't remember what they call it, some kind of medal.
I was going to say, they didn't pick you up as a fullback, did they?
No, they knew I played full forward. And Kenny Sheldon was spot on. He was very good, you know what I mean? He was a bit like Terry Wheeler. He's a good man, Kenny Sheldon, so... Yeah, so I had some good games at the Sandful. And that was good footy too, Trent. I remember some games against Norwood and against Port Adelaide, against Glenelg, and there were some really tough games there. That was pretty good footy.
Geez, very good value for money, Danny Del Rey. He's only had 7 kicks. He's kicked 6. So from 8 kicks, he can have 7 goals on the board. Oh, it's another good kick.
Hey, Danny, I've loved having a chat with you, mate. And I reckon I could be sitting here and having a few beers for a couple of hours and just going through all the stories, but time doesn't permit. So what I usually do with my guests, I usually have a couple of quick five handball sort of questions.
Yep.
So the first one I usually do is I'll ask you, I want you to give me a word or a short phrase about a couple of players, you know, that were involved in your footy journey. So it's up to you how you want to answer it. Let's see how we go with it.
Right.
So the first one I'm going to ask you is Tony McGuinness.
Oh, Tony McGuinness, weird. He wouldn't say much, Tony McGuinness.
Dougie Hawkins.
Superstar.
Nigel Callett.
Intriguing.
Bernard Tui.
Tough as nails.
And Chris Grant to finish off.
Rolls Royce.
Who was your hardest opponent in your time at the Bulldogs?
Gavin Brown from Collingwood. I get asked this a lot and people say, Gavin Brown. I said, I played against Gary Perk, kicked five at him, no worries. I played against Mickey Martin, kicked five on him as well. Danny Frawley played well on him a lot. When Gavin Brown came in, he was the same sort of build as me, 188 centimetres, but very lightly framed and quick. So I was okay when the ball hit the ground and stuff, but against these other fullbacks. But when it came to Gavin Brown, I couldn't shake him, mate. He was pretty good, yeah.
Good player, Brian. Very, very good.
Oh, Ripper. And I've seen that his daughter plays for Collingwood now. She goes all right too. Erin Brown, I think. I was watching the other day. So, yeah, she's a good player. But, yeah, Gavin Brown was a bloody Ripper player.
Yeah, right. Hey, who is the best character you played with? And I'm speaking about, you know, you go up to the social club after the game, have a few beers, talking with the banter. Who was the best that you played with?
Well, I'll still hang around with him now. Mark Hunter's a beauty. He's very, very, very clever, smart. He's quick wit. And Scotty Wine. So they're the two guys that I'd sort of hang around with. And, but I still hang around with Mark all the time too. So he's in the racing and, so we get along pretty good.
Does he give you a few winners most of the time? He's pretty good on the old selections in the old market.
Yeah, he's got a couple of A sets and B sets, but sometimes he gives me the B set. I'm not happy, you know what I mean? Don't tell him that. If you ever see him, don't tell him that either.
I read the other day that you acted as a runner for the great Rodney Eade and how it was written in this article, and I want you to try and elaborate for me, that it was very nerve-wracking. So I'd love to get an explanation on what you meant by nerve-wracking with that running position for Rodney Eade.
Well, he said, Mark and I did it together, Mark Hunter and I, and he grabbed us into the rooms, and this was about 2 or 3 weeks prior to the first game. He said, you know, I'm not going to be very nice to you blokes out there. I'm going to call you every name under the sun, but I don't mean it, but I'm going to call you every name under the sun if you don't do the messages right. And, you know, that sort of got me nervous straight away, and we haven't even started yet, you know what I mean? So I said to Mark, what are we doing, mate? He goes, don't worry, you'll enjoy it. To be honest with you, Trent, I had the best time there. It was great. That was a good experience for me, for my football as coaching, all that stuff. But he's a ruthless man, mate, ruthless. I can tell you a lot of names he said, but it was not good. Not good. You get the message wrong, you'll know about it. Because the phone will be waiting. When you run back, the phone will be waiting for you. You know, listen to what he's going to say.
And you'd be shitting bricks just waiting to get that deluge of bloody abuse on the phone.
Yeah. It was funny, I'll tell you. Have you got a minute? I'll tell you one quick
one. Go for it, mate. Love it.
So we played West Coast in a final. It might have been a final or the last round, and was after half time. So 3/4 time, it was my turn to run. It was about 40 seconds to go, right? All the players were doing their matchups and everything. And the phone rings. So I was first to go out. So I pick up the phone, Rocket. Yep. Goes, go and change. It was a 3-way change, right? And usually I write it down, but I remembered it. So I go out to the back line. Now, the bounce is, it's almost starting 3/4 time. I go to the back line. As I fucking ran out, I forgot everything what he said. I forgot the whole thing. So I've gone out 40 yards, 50 yards. Shit, I can't remember what he said. So I've run back. As I've run back, the phone's waiting. And I get on the phone. He goes, am I allowed to swear?
It's fine.
All right. He called me everything under the sun, you effing idiot. And I said, Rocket, I totally forgot what you said, mate. we left the setup as it was, and that was it. But Jesus Christ, I copped it after that, I tell you.
I love it.
That was funny.
I love it. Hey, mate, the last thing I want to ask you, and as I said, I've really appreciated you taking the time to have a chat. What was so great about 90s footy? Why was it a great era to be a part of?
It was a traditional, like, you know, like the positions were good. Like the centre, like I feel the best player I've ever seen play footy was Wayne Carey. So, you know, when you're looking at players like that, you know, Dunstall, you know, fullbacks on full forward, centre-halfbacks on centre-half-forward. And the footy was strong, like tough, like you'd cop a whack, you know what I mean? And it was good to play with that, and it was also good to watch too. Like sometimes I watch a couple of mid-90s footy. They were unbelievable, unbelievable.
Danny Delray, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time and having a chat with us on the 90s Footy Club podcast. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Trent. Legend, mate. Thank you very much.
...centre and brings it to the half-forward line. The lead is on by Delray. Great lead and a good kick. Delray should have a shot from there. He can kick a football. Certainly can kick the ball a long way. Former Williamstown in the VFA here in Victoria.
He looks a lot fitter now, Pete.
Well, there's the kick. Look at that drop punt. A magnificent kick for a goal.
That's the end of episode number 41. If you've missed any previous episodes, you can catch them all on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. We're on all the social media platforms, so drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on any particular episode you've enjoyed or a guest you would love to hear. Next week, we catch up with former Richmond defender, Paul Bullis.
It's tough, it's rugged, it's good, solid AFL football.